Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
No one can understand.
Just know He has His hand. Just know He has His hand on you.
I'm a living witness as to when God has His hands on you, what will happen. Amen. I have to be honest with you. I got to give you a little testimony on my life. Past couple weeks have been really rough for me, amen. But when God has His hands on you, you'll find healing at His feet, amen. You'll find deliverance at His feet. You'll find every good thing that you need at the feet of God. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, January 12th, 2020. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Luba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm hanging in there, Doc. I'm getting stronger every day. God is blessing, man. How about yourself?
Same here, man. I'm taking it one day at a time, trying to stay productive and keep my health up.
Amen. Amen, Doc. Yeah, you got to do that, man, because, you know, we need you around here, Doctor. We can't do this without you.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, would you believe, man, that we are in our second year of doing this show, Doc?
Yes, sir.
It don't seem like it's been that long.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just amazed, man, and overly excited as to what God is doing, man. And I tell you, it's whenever I think about this, man, I just smile, man. I just get a joy in my heart, you know, because, you know, he didn't have to do it, though. He didn't have to do it, you know. It didn't have to be this way. And you know, when truly, man, when God is in the mix, man, truly when He's in the mix, man, He does things that you just never expect, you know, and this here was just something that I'd never even thought about. I never thought about, you know, being a radio show host and you know, being on the air, man, and just how it just opened up for me, man. I tell you, man, it was just like it was always meant to be, you know, and I'm just so grateful, Doc. I really am. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Michelle. I'm grateful to everybody, man, that has a hand in this because it just didn't have to be. And I look at this, man, and I will always remember this with fond memories, man.
Well, I've been doing this for a while now, and I have a love for internet radio and communications and broadcasting, and you're natural. So you fell into this thing like you've been doing it for years, and it's been a joy, and it's been fun watching you do it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. To my family and my friends, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. You can call in while we're on air and press the number 1. and at the appropriate time, you'll be able to talk to myself and Brother Hakim. Amen. As always, I am excited. I am happy. I am full of joy, and I hope that you are too. I pray that this new year brings you much success, much love, understanding, and I pray that whatever God is doing in your life in that he did in 2019, that he continues to do it in 2020. I also pray that throughout this new year, that whatever you are seeking in this new year, that you find it. I pray that doors will be opened for you. I pray that blessings will be given to you, and I pray that love will find you. Amen. I pray that love will find you. So expect some wonderful things throughout this year. Expect some great things throughout this year. The same way that God provided last year, expect the same thing this year, because from what I know, he is an on-time God. And so long as he is an on-time God, we will be all right. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to be all right. Amen. I am always, always, always humbled when I'm able to talk to people who listen to my show. It brings a joy to my heart to know that I am touching somebody, and we may be miles and miles apart. You don't know what it does to me just to hear the fact that you listen to my show and that you get something out of it. I pray that this year that God will open up doors for this network, that God will bless this network, and that he will take us higher, higher than we've ever seen before, that he will give us new outlooks, new shows this year, that the host will just come out and ask, how can I be of service? That everything is going to be just fantastic this year. And I just pray that God will not only bless this show and this network, that he would bless Brother Hakim, continue to show him grace and favor. Our leader, Michelle, continue to bless her and keep her. And may her show continue to thrive and ride a wave of success. I'm also asking, Father God, that you would bless our world, Father. Turn this tipsy-toppy world, Father. Turn it around. Father, let the people know that we love them, that first you loved them because you gave up your life in order that we may live. We just thank you. Now, Father God, I ask that you would bless me, your most humble servant. Father, as I'm still returning to full health, Father, that you will continue to open up doors for me, Father. Continue to show me, Father, your will and your way for my life. And Father, bless me, because there are times, Father God, that I need to sit down and listen and rest this body, and I don't do it, Father. But I'm asking you, Father, to just help me. Help me, Father, because I love you, and I do this all because of you. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As always, I am grateful to people who, again, listen to my show, and those who ask questions, who like answers and everything. I'm grateful to you. And so at our time of our holiday break, and then, as you know, it was my wife's birthday, and then I got I fell ill, and I got some questions that were asked. I got a slew of questions, so we're just going to break them down into each show until I finish, and we'll have a good time answering these questions. So The first question is, hello, Pastor D. This is the question that I have. It's very hard for me to ask you, but I will ask you anyway. Why is God's will so hard for me to follow? Well, the reason why it's hard for you to follow God's will is because God's will did not align and does not align with your will. Because your will does not align with God's will, it's hard for us to sometimes put them together. But in order for you to put God's will in front of your will, you have to know God on a personal level. Knowing God on a personal level means that you trust him. And if you trust God, then you know that his will for your life will not be something to harm you, but will be something to help you. Many times in our lives that we find that if we just listen to what God would have us to do, that it will make it easier for us. I can honestly say that I'm one that have fallen into that, because if I were to do, if were doing my will, I would probably have a whole big old stack of money on the table. I'd probably be rich and famous because I wanted to be a film director, and I was a year away from filming my first movie. I had just secured a film company, and everything was getting good. I found me a producer, and he was backing me, and everything was great. And then God called me to the ministry, and I left my company dead in the water. I left my producer right where he was at. I left my creative consultant where he was. I left everybody where they were, and I started this ministry. Now, let me tell you something about God and the way that God's journey works. The reason why people call God a God of victory is because when God calls you and aligns you to his will, when he shows you that will, typically he only shows you the end result. And it's you being the blessing that God is trying to build you to be. Now, what I mean by that is God will show you the end result. God will show you preaching. God will show you teaching. God will show you whatever it is that he's calling you to do. He's going to show you. He'll never show you the beginning or the middle, because most times if he showed us the beginning or the middle, we wouldn't do what he asked us to do. Because most times the beginning and the middle is so rough for his people that most of us say, no, I'm not doing it. So God always shows us the end result of what could happen if we align ourselves with his will. And typically, his will is best for our lives anyway. When you really look at it, it's best for your life. So whatever it is that's trying to stop you from reaching out to God and to do his will, you need to remove it from your life. Whether it be this world, whether it be a woman, whether it be whatever, addiction, affliction, whatever it may be, it is important, it is imperative that you stop it and you let it go so that you can listen to what God would have you to do. Amen. Excuse me. I kind of laughed and chuckled at this next question. It says, hello, Pastor D. What does God think about Donald Trump? Well, I don't know what God thinks about Donald Trump. I don't know. But the more important question is, what does Donald Trump think about God? And I don't know that answer either. I can only pray that he knows God and that he knows God on a personal, intimate level. And if he doesn't, then that's between him and God. But I'm one that I pray for my president. I may not always agree with everything that goes on, but I pray for my president because he is the leader of this country. Regardless of if you like him or not, you pray for your leaders. That's what the Bible says for us to do that. So I'm just fulfilling the scripture that where the Bible tells me to pray for my leaders. we're not going to always like see eye to eye with everything. There are some times when we don't see eye to eye with our pastors, but guess what? Are we supposed to pray for them? Absolutely. They're human beings just like everybody else. They've got a call on their life, but they are the leaders, and we are to pray for them. Sometimes we don't like our bosses. Most of us are people who work a 9-to-5 job or a Monday to Friday job or whatever your schedule may be, typically do not deal with or like their bosses. But I'm going to tell you one way to make your enemy, to make your enemy your footstool is to pray for your boss and watch how fast your boss will come and humble themselves before you. You see, there are secrets to happiness. And I've learned that a secret to happiness is prayer. So, again, I don't know what God thinks about Donald Trump. God probably thinks of Donald Trump just like he thinks of everybody else, because God is not a respecter of man. So he probably thinks of Donald Trump like he thinks of everybody else. And if Donald Trump is not doing what God has called him to do, then he's going to start tugging at Donald Trump's heart. If Donald Trump is doing what God has called him to do, then that means that we as God's people have to do some changing. Because something is going on. If something is going wrong if he is doing God's will. Because maybe God is trying to get our attention. Maybe it's not him, but maybe it's us. We point the finger at him, but we're not doing our parts. Which leads me to the next question, which says, why are the churches failing at being effective? The churches are not failing. We have failed the church. And I'm that bold to say it. We have failed the church. Now, I'm not talking about any specific church in general. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We are the church. We have failed ourselves. Why? Because we'd rather our children be our friends. We'd rather our children make their own decisions on if they want to attend church. We let our children do what they want. We don't hold them to the standard that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents held us to. The standard of faith. You see, when I was younger, you went to school. You went to church. Those are the two things that you had to do besides your chores every day. You went to school, you went to church, you did your job. If you didn't go to church on Sunday morning, you didn't do anything else. You couldn't, if you played sick while at church, or before church, guess what? You stayed in that bed all day long and you looked at the wall. And if your parents were merciful, they may let you watch a little TV. But we don't hold our children in this day and age to that same responsibility. We'll let them go out. We'll let them do what they want. They're too busy on their iPads and on their pads to even listen to what the preacher is saying. When they come to church, most times they don't, because we don't force them. Yes, we didn't like being forced to go to church, but what did it do for us? It created a foundation within us, a foundation of faith that nothing and nobody can move away from us. It made us unmovable. But yet we allow our children to be moved from every which direction. Even though the world may change, God and God's word remains the same. Why are the churches failing at being effective? We need to be more effective. We need to be more active. We need to help more. Tithe more. You see, the preacher don't get all the money when you tithe, when you give money to the church. And 99% of churches where a pastor is getting paid, he has a salary. Just like an everyday job, he has a salary. And in that salary, he's given what they have, what the boards have come together and decided to pay him. That's what it is. The preacher don't get all the money. Please know that the church does not run off of air and water. I am one that knows the sacrifice of the church, but I also know that the church has bills that need to be paid in order for the church to survive. If the church did not have the money in order to pay the light bill, guess what happens? The lights will be shut off. The gas will be shut off. And everybody leave for sure that, at that point. So the churches are not failing at being effective. We are. We are failing. And we need to get back on track. So please, if you are a member of a church and you haven't been to church in a while, get back up and head back to the church house, because there is a blessing waiting there for you. There's a blessing waiting there for you. Be a cheerful giver in your church house. Help the church to thrive and to be what God has called it to be. When you sacrifice and you give of your own heart freely, don't you know that God gives it back to you double and triple? You know why I never have to worry about anything? It's because I never worry when I give my all. I never worry about what's going to happen to my household, because God has my household. I never worry about what's going to happen to my car and my wife's car, because God has my car and my mother's car. He has our cars. Because when I give from my heart. So be more effective. Love on somebody. Love. Give your time and your effort. Give your finances and give your heart back to the church, and bring your children and somebody teach your children what thus saith the Lord. Teach them about Jesus Christ. When I was younger, every child knew this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Now that's a dead hymn in this day and age. Be more effective in your church. And finally, the last question is, hello, Pastor D. Where have you been? I thought we lost the Jubilee Affair. No, I've just been under the weather. I praise God that I'm feeling better. Last week I wanted to do the show, but my voice just would not hold up. And even this morning, I got up this morning and I felt, you know, somewhat okay. And I said, well, God, if you bless me to be somewhat okay, I'm going to preach the word this morning. And I got up and I got ready and I got myself together and I was just prepared. And I got to church and one of the mothers in the church said, you need to sit down. And God said, I concur. So that's what I did. I sat down this morning as well. And one of the ministers, a very, very capable minister, Rosalind Thomas, brought a fantastic word to the body this morning, and it revitalized my soul. And so I'm just excited and I'm happy. And I just thank God for this calling and this ministry. Amen. So, no, you have not lost the Jubilee Fair. We are going to be here so long as the airways are open. We will be here. Amen. Brother Akim, myself, Deacon Maurice, Minister Tremaine, Sister Michelle, Brother Darius, we all are going to be here. Amen. Because God is so good unto us. Amen. Which leads me also now to the point of our service where a word must go forth. It's always a good thing when you can call upon your mate, your spouse, my best friend, my road dog, my riding partner, my everything that I can think of, my love, the love of my life. She knows that I've been ill. And she said, I got it. You just sit back and let me do what God has called me to do. So without further ado, I present to you this minister, this great preacher, whom God has called and whom God has set free, Minister Tremaine Townsend. Bring the word, honey.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor D, for that beautiful entrance, as always. I thank you, and I appreciate you for this this time and this opportunity. I don't take it lightly or for granted, and I appreciate you. And I thank you, Brother Hakim, as well, for this time.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear gracious God, we just come to you just to say thank you. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for keeping us and protecting us as we traveled the highways. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come back to our destinations the same way that we left them, safe and sound. We just thank you. We give you all the honor and all the glory because you deserve it. Now, God, as I bring forth this word that you've given me to give to your people, I ask you, God, that you would remove me, that you would step in and let them hear you from on high. I thank you for choosing me. I thank you for loving me, and I appreciate you. And I give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. My subject is Jesus, the ultimate missionary. Now that the season of Advent has come to a close, the season of which we celebrate Jesus' birth, it is now time to shed light on the mission of Jesus and how his works was here on earth. Now when the time drew near for him to be received up again in heaven, he proceeded with fixed purpose towards Jerusalem and sent messengers before him. A lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, He takes in sinners and he eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, now the tax gatherers and the notorious sinners were everywhere in the habit of coming close to him to listen to him. And this led the Pharisees and the scribes indignantly to complain, saying, he gives a welcome to notorious sinners and joins them at their meals. The two words that define Jesus' life, one, missional, which means on a mission, God's mission. Two, incarnational, God in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten Father, full of grace and truth. We are called to live our life like this today. We are called to be a picture of Christ. The heart of the gospel is that God became a man in order to rescue and redeem his creation. Among the religions of the world, only Christianity makes the incredible claim of God seeking the fallen race rather than humanity looking for God. Instead of the hungry seeking for the bread of life came searching for the hungry. In John chapter 6, verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. In essence of the gospel is that the Son of God became the Son of Man, so those were the sons of men could become sons of God. He became poor so people through his poverty might be rich. These two words should be defined in our lives. What does it mean to be missional, incarnational, follower of Christ? Number one, it's clear about the mission. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to only obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, verses 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Galatians 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, come on, somebody. The church needs to be missional. As believers, we are to be on a mission for God in our respective communities. We are called upon to be visible reputation of who Jesus is. To do this, we may be required to have a new vision, new ways of thinking, and new patterns of behavior. We are called to be missionaries where we live, the places where God has planted us. It is not by accident that we work where we work. It is not accident that we live where we live. It is not an accident yet your children go to the schools that they go to. God has strategically placed you there to be a missionary. Since we are in Christ, we have a missionary identity. We are adopted into the missionary family. We serve a missionary God. Mission becomes part of our identity because our Father is a missionary God, and we resemble him as a child of God. So the church is a missionary church, and we are missionary people and do missionary things. It is who we are, and it is also what we do. Mission is not something that we tacked on to the list of options as a Christian. To be a Christian is to be on a mission. It's who we are. It's what we do. I have been crucified is the missional Christian. He came to die on the cross. He came to save sinners. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If we're going to be a church on a mission, we must understand that we have to be sent by God as missionaries in culture. The missional church is more than a gathering of people with a missions program considering itself missions-minded, or that has a financial commitment to mission works or mission committees. The missional church is vested in God's mission to be in a specific place, people, and a particular time in history, Acts 17:15. Number two, the next point in being missional is that we have to be in touch with the culture. For one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he is determined that the time set for them is the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. When Jesus became popular, he did not become disconnected from the people. He learned the culture. We must also learn the culture. Listen to the radio. Listen to the people. Watch the kids or cruise the internet. We say we want to reach the younger generation, but we have no idea what they're even into. He was in touch with the people, politics, etc. He ate with sinners. God places us where we are. If we're going to reach the people around us, then we need to hear what the Lord told the disciples in John chapter 21. They had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. I don't know about you, but when I used to go fishing with my grandfather, I used to like to catch something. The one thing we cannot be faulted for is our labor or toil. We are casting the net or throwing the line out in an attempt to try to catch the fish, but we are just not catching anything. Then Jesus comes along the side and says, and he offers the advice of what we need to do in order to catch the fish. Think about it for a moment. There are professional fishermen, and here is a carpenter trying to tell them that they are not doing it right. They didn't realize he was really a master fisherman. The master fisherman said, don't do it like that, but do it like this. Cast it to the right side. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to put something inside of us today. He wants us to download it, that on the other side strategy, that we should want to catch some fish. You see, the master is more excited about you getting a great catch than you are. They could have said, we have always done it this way. He wants a deposit in us that the other side, the boat mentality, is the right side mentality. Do it a different way mentality. Thank you, God. Third point of being missional. Living in the culture without being shaped by the culture. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Speak the language, sing the songs, but don't compromise the truth for the culture. Jesus never crossed the line into sin. He was in the culture, but not shaped by it. Fourth and final point is we should be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. In Luke 4:14, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in the ends of the earth. Listen to the words of Gabriel as Mary is pondering on how she's going to have this child and how she hasn't had any sexual relations with anyone upon this point. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The activity of the Holy Spirit should be visible. This is normal. When you walk into a room, your light should shine so bright that people should believe every spiritual gift in the Bible should be operational today. The only way that we'd be able to reach our respective generations for the Lord will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for education because we need it. Thank God for church workers because we need them. Thank God for organization because we need it. But more than all of this, we need the mighty power of God to reach the lost people. Let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen. Amen. Oh, that was a powerful word. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful
amen.
Word. Now, I guess so.
God be the glory.
Amen. I get the first opportunity to ask questions about your word. Amen. Now, what drove you or what gave you the, let me rephrase the question. What was God speaking to you when you wrote that word?
Well, when I was preparing the message, God wanted to let me know, to let everyone know that we're all missionaries. We don't have to necessarily have the quote-unquote title of missionary, just being a presence in this dark, dark world is being a missionary, just as Jesus did. We are Christians, which is to be Christ-like, Christ being a missionary in his time, and that's what we're striving to be, like him.
Okay, amen. Amen. Now, when you wrote that message, and you wrote that message, and you delivered it very well, do you have any more insights that God, because normally when you write a sermon like that and you find, man, I should have put this in, I should have said that, I should have said that. Do you have any more insights for the people when in dealing with their missionary work and how to be a missionary?
As long as you reach one, don't be discouraged when you go to all these or try to be a witness to different people and you get turned down. But when you get to that one and you're able to reach that one, give glory to God, because that is one that is now for the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Minister Townsend, for your wonderful word of enlightenment. I know that somebody out there is jumping for joy because somebody out there has a missionary heart, and I know that they're just loving everything that you said, amen. And I know that somebody was blessed on this evening. Again, I thank
amen.
You for stepping in for me.
No problem. You're welcome, and thank you.
Amen. Hey, Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on the line that may want to give a word for or to this minister?
Well, we have a lot of people on tonight. If anyone wants to ask a question, give a prayer, request a prayer, talk to the pastor, the minister, please press the number 1. It'll let me know, and I can put you through.
Amen. And this is your time to get a word in. The floor is yours. True blessing. Mm-hmm. True blessing.
Yeah. Okay, we have our first one up.
All right, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello. My name is Gail Sherman. Hello. I didn't have a question. I wanted to tell Minister Town that I really appreciated her message. I really appreciated
it. Hi, Gail.
I'm so proud of you, babe.
Oh, thank you so much. Gail, I call her Auntie Gail. She is one of my inspirations that I met on Facebook and through makeup and ministry, and I appreciate her every day, what she does, and her support, and I thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for inviting
Amen.
Me.
You're
Amen.
Welcome.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Gail, and we invite you to always join in and tune in to the Jubilee Affair. You are home, and we thank God for you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Brother, can we have anybody else that may want to give a word?
We have a lot of people listening, but we need someone to press one so we can get you to take advantage of this time that's set to aside for you guys. Just press the number one. We'll get you right in.
Amen. I know somebody got a word to say, man. Amen.
Yeah. Well, while we have a second, I wanted to congratulate Minister Townsend for an amazing word, and I you know, no knock to the pastor, but are extremely we're booked up tonight. I'm thinking it's because of you.
Amen.
So congratulations.
To God be the glory. I don't take any credit or anything for granted. I'm so humbled and so grateful. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, we got another caller. Here we go.
Amen. All right. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello?
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 Hello? Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Okay, I don't know if I'm on or not, but can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You're on. You're
okay.
On live.
Hello. I was going to say God bless Tremaine and you all for having this platform. The word was wonderful. This is Jacqueline Trish, and I'm so glad that I was able to catch part of her message. So thank you so much for sharing, and we appreciate what you're doing. May God be glorified.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Dr. Jackie. Another one of my beautiful sisters that I met on Facebook, and I'm so thankful for her and her ministry as well. And I appreciate you and your support.
Amen. Thank you as well, Ms. Jackie and Dr. Jackie, for all that you do and for your ministry as well. I thank you for that too. And may God continue to bless you and keep you as well. Amen. We're winding down to our last 2 minutes. Amen. If somebody has a word that they want to speak, amen, or get out, or, you know, this is your time. Amen. I always set this time apart for you. Amen. As a response to the word that went forth. Amen.
Okay, got another.
Again. All right. Well, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Frederica Johnson. To God be the glory, and I just want to say that I'm so glad to know such an amazing person like Janae. Not only is she an amazing minister of God, she allows him to use her. She's just an amazing person all the way around. So thank you so much for delivering the word this evening. To God be the glory. Continue to let God use you to continue to bless you, and thank you for blessing us on this evening.
Amen. Thank you so much, Seti. Seti's another one of my beautiful sisters that I met on Facebook, and I thank you for your support. I appreciate you, and I love you.
I love you more.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am, and God bless you as well. Amen. Well, as we are winding down within our last minute, I pray that the message today blessed your heart, blessed your soul, and I pray that you, not only that it blessed you, but I pray that you will apply it to your life, and that God will bless you as you apply it, and when you apply it to your life, that you will teach it to somebody else. Amen. On behalf of the great brother Hakim Nuba, Minister Tremaine, myself, Pastor D, you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night, and God bless.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now, and it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
Bye.